Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do speak to us in the quiet places of our lives. I thank you for the opportunity this morning to be with you and to talk about you and your mighty work in our lives. We love you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Last January, Jennifer and I did an 8-day silent prayer retreat in New England, and we'd like to share some of that with you today. We're going to use an interview format and with time for questions at the end, if you have any.
So, Roger, I have two ways to say this. What were you thinking about when you thought about a silent prayer retreat during your sabbatical? And the other way was, what were you thinking about when you thought about a silent prayer retreat during your sabbatical?
I was looking for something out of the ordinary. My sabbatical was about studying primarily, and so I was looking for something that would be out of the ordinary, and I was looking for something that would be a risk, something that would be stretching. It's easy at my age to be comfortable, and so this was stretching, and to be really truthful, we love New England, where we went for the retreat, so the setting mattered to us as well. And Jennifer, what were you feeling when I suggested that we go together?
Okay, three I's came to mind. I was somewhat intimidated. I felt very inadequate. And I'm not at all introverted.
And what other fears were you experiencing?
Okay, I think the first thing, and a number of you know this, could I do this? You know, would this be possible for me to do? Another one of my fears was, would the spiritual director assigned to me be theologically sound? And one of the other ones was, okay, Lord, how would all this work out when I basically learn through talking and in relational settings? So, like, you had no fears at all?
Well, as the introvert, everyone assumed that I'd have a really easy time at this. And so at one point, I wondered what would happen if I wasn't really happy being quiet for 8 days in a row. And that would be embarrassing.
Well, okay, what preparation did you have for a silent retreat?
Well, sometime in the fall, we realized that we had no communication from Eastern Point after we had sent our deposit. And we sort of didn't know what to take or do or bring and that sort of thing. And Marilyn Stewart assured us that the Catholic people all know what to do because they've done this, but, of course, Protestants haven't done this. And so we emailed, and there really isn't any preparation for this. So we did a couple things. One is we talked to Doug and Marilyn about it. And then Jay Sibbeth had done some retreats at Eastern Point, and that was helpful as well. And then we had a copy from Maryland of Paul Mariani's book called 30 Days, and Paul's a professor, and he did a 30-day retreat at Eastern Point. And although our retreat was different than his in its content, it had helpful information like, for example, there's a laundry right there, and things that you wouldn't know that after 8 days you would need to know. And so how it worked was a practical guide for us.
Eastern Point Retreat House is located on the absolute end, the eastern point of Cape Ann. Okay, you think of Cape Cod coming this way. Well, Cape Ann comes down here. It's on the Atlantic Ocean, on the shoreline of the coast of Massachusetts. It's near Gloucester. The setting is really stunning. There's like sandy beach. There's huge boulders on this rocky coast. There's lots of sort of picture-perfect vistas everywhere you look. The house itself is a 1920s mansion. It has really beautifully appointed huge interior spaces that accommodate now, worship and silence and contemplation. There's a library. There's rooms for counseling and spiritual direction. And, of course, there's also housing in the main house. There's two additions as well. One that holds dormitory-style single occupancy rooms. And there's a dining hall, which has a gorgeous view over the bay.
So that gives you a sense of our setting.
Tell us about the rhythm of each day, if you would, please.
There were three meals a day. That was good. They were all in silence. Lunch and dinner. They played classical music, and you overlooked the ocean. It was spectacular and lovely. We spent about 45 to 50 minutes a day with a spiritual director working on our own spiritual lives. Late in the afternoon, there was a worship time, followed by communion. And then in the evenings, the fireplace was always lit, and you could sit there quietly and enjoy the end of the day. Most of the people were retired by 8:30 in the evening. So what did you do most days?
Well, I spent time each day in the scriptures, passages that were suggested by my spiritual director, and ones that the Lord had been using a number of weeks ahead in my preparation time. I spent a lot of time just looking out on this really beautiful view and noticing it at different times of the day, which was really a wonderful picture of creation. And I walked around the property, along the beach and the rocks, spent time talking with my spiritual director, of course. And interestingly, I would be praying, reading, studying, journaling in the afternoons, but it wasn't until just like the next morning, just after breakfast, before I met with my spiritual director, that the Lord would show me what he was doing in my life. It was kind of an uncanny little situation that came about. I also prayed through, they have a prayer labyrinth on the property, and that for me was probably an overwhelmingly hands-down highlight of my time, and really a wonderful gift from the Lord there. Well, we've talked about the spiritual directors, we brought this up, so what exactly is a spiritual director, and who is your director?
My director was Father Jim, who is the director at Eastern Point. He's a middle-aged guy. He's an extraordinarily kind man, and I really appreciate his kindness and gentleness. Spiritual directors are men and women who have a ministry of discernment, and so when I met with Jim each day, he listened to me just without interruption. Whatever I wanted to say, he simply listened to me, and what I was reporting was happening inside of my heart. He asked interpretive questions, helping me discover what was going on, and without any kind of paradigm put on me. And then he assigned scripture passages based on what I was telling him. And usually there were three, not every day, but one for each morning, noon, and night that you could reflect on and then go back and talk about how that passage had impacted you and what your response was. And your director was Father John.
Mm-hmm. Well, John was, he's a Jesuit priest as well, and he struck me as a cross between. I know a number of you know my father-in-law, Roger's dad, Henry. He's in his 80s, okay? John was like a cross between my father-in-law and the Santa Claus from Miracle on 34th Street. You remember that film? Okay, and you saw a picture of John up there. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is just like, Kris Kringle here. He had a great handle on the scriptures. Obviously an answer to a prayer of mine and a fear. He loves God. He taught me by his example about living constantly with Jesus. He told me on the last day he was a missionary in Jamaica for 5 years, and he was kind and he understood me.
And what did you do when the silence was hard for you?
I was thinking about this question, and I was like, I have to just say, I cried. I cried when it was hard. I talked out loud to the Lord. I tried to remind myself that God would be faithful. And then somewhere after about day three, I think, I began to see this time as an extravagant gift. I was not doing any work. I was not cooking. I wasn't doing work in the sense of a job and those types of things. No cleaning. I did make my bed. And it ended up, it was time with Jesus. And I thought, oh my word, people never get an opportunity to do this. And this was a gift to me. And that got me through. So share some things that you experienced.
Well, one of the things that was striking was the beauty of New England in the winter. And it was interesting to us that although all the pictures except one were the summer, the people at Eastern Point believe winter in January is the best month to go. And it was the weather ranged from snow to warm enough that the grass was, the flowers starting to come up in some of the protected places. So that it was nice to be in a place that was beautiful. And I worked at slowing down my body. And I was out walking one day, and I have a pretty long stride, and I realized I was walking quickly, and I really had no place to go. So with that revelation, I thought I could walk more slowly, and slowing the walking and the pace down actually helped my body rhythm to slow down and to be more present there. I worked at listening to my body. I talked to Jim that most of the stress that I experienced physically was from my shoulders up, and part of it was you could walk there, but there was no way to exercise your upper body, and it created stress there. And I experienced tears in worship, and that opened the door to some things that I learned as well. I think one of the gifts of Eastern Point is being present there. And I found that I wasn't, maybe you don't do this, but I wasn't rethinking the past or worrying about the future. I was just there. And that was just such a wonderful thing. I mean, when we got there, everyone had the emergency phone number, Jim and our parents and the kids, so everybody could contact us if they needed to, but just being there every day and not working past and future was really a gift for us. I enjoyed quiet, reading, walking, and praying. And then Jennifer and I learned to communicate without talking. We sort of stumbled on this, but I guess probably the first night we went to the worship time and we sat together. And then following worship was dinner. And so we went to dinner together and sat down, and we hold hands in our house. And so we held hands and prayed, but of course not out loud, and just quietly. And then after dinner, we went to the library and read, and then sat by the fireplace in the evening for a while. And so we had an ability to connect with one another without talking, and it also kept us from unhelpfully engaging in what the other person was learning. And so we wound up, I wasn't worrying about Jennifer, and she wasn't worrying about me because we didn't know what was happening with each other. So it kept a thin wall there, but we had communication that was quiet and with touch. And you learned?
Mm-hmm. Well, I learned that not only could I do this, but that I really rather enjoyed it. In fact, I realized that I need times of quiet in my life. I learned once again about the the strong and deep love that God has for me. That was mostly due to John's encouragement for me, and to ask the Lord to show me that. And I also learned that the walk of faith involves, once again, fully trusting Him. It's the only way to go. I learned that His Word is totally trustworthy, and that, of course, He still speaks through His Word today. And to, instead of be afraid of silence, to embrace it. So did anything, this is going from the sublime to the ridiculous, but did anything funny happen during our time there?
The last day after we ended the silence, we were having lunch, and it was quiet, and one of the men came over to us and said goodbye and told us how nice it was to be with us. And I realized that we hadn't talked to him all week. And I couldn't remember whether we actually had talked to him at the first night or not, but it was just a little incongruous.
It's like you don't know anybody's name or anything. It's like, great to be with you, you know? It's like, oh.
What was it like to come out of silence?
As we drove away from Eastern Point, Roger and I were silent. We're in the car. The windows are shut, you know, tight. There's no noise coming from outside, nothing from the road, from the highway. And about 30 minutes later, we had to make a stop. And so, like, I jump out of the car, and it was like my ears were assaulted with, it seemed like there was shouting and blaring sounds and, you know, things like this. And actually, it was like just people at a fast food stop. And I was just jolted into the reality that this is how, you know, this is how we live normally every day in this sound blaring life, particularly in North America. Well, would you do it again?
Yes. And we're actually planning to go next January to Eastern Point again if it works out. And we want to see what is different or what is the same from that. Having one experience, it's hard to assess it and to know where it is, but we believe that there could be a spiritual discipline in doing this for several years in a row, and to see what God teaches us through the repetition of the time of quiet. And, of course, we really enjoyed it.
It's really your own experience. Like, at one point I thought, am I doing this right? You know, like, am I, you know, you know, doing the things that I should be doing and stuff like that. And then I thought, oh, I should ask John. And then I thought, he's going to look at me and say, of course you are.